Can I give us an encouragement right off the bat before I get into the message? You know, there's a lot of sickness going on and a lot of disease. And, you know, I don't give in to sickness just that easily. When I hear of stuff going around, you know what I do? I say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I resist sickness. I resist that. Well, what about the times you get sick, Joe? Well, the times I get sick, I don't deny that I'm sick, but I still confess the word, and I'll say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I do that while I'm blowing my nose and coughing up a storm. I'll still say it. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you know what I've found? That sickness doesn't linger on as long as it does, because I believe, how many of you believe in the power of the spoken word of God? Amen? So if I can encourage you, don't wave the white flag of surrender to sickness and say, well, I suppose it's just a season. No, I say, no, in Jesus' name, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, and Matthew chapter 8, verse, I believe it's 16, 17. So how many of you would receive that word to confess the word and say, you know, I'm going to resist sickness and disease? Can I get an amen in the house, please? Thank you. All righty. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I pray that some of the stories that I share this morning will, you know, kind of like Vegas, what is shared in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? So Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read a couple of verses from this chapter. Let's begin reading with verse 5, and I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Verse 5, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, I give you thanks for your love for us, God. Thank you for the revelation of your word. Help us to listen with spiritual ears. Help us to see with spiritual eyes. Help us to receive the word that you have for all of us this morning. We give you thanks for all this, and to you be all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was one of those cold, rare cold afternoons in Southwest Texas. And a friend of mine, he was my best friend when I was growing up. His name is Joe Marshall, and haven't really kept in contact a lot. Got to see him 5 years ago when I went to visit back home. And you know, we just kind of, when we were kids, we were just kind of walking around. And let me be clear about this. This was before I gave my life to Jesus, okay? I was probably about 10 or 11, and I gave my life to Christ when I was 16, so anything that I share this morning is under the blood. And so we were walking, you know, just kind of up to no good, really. And I think it was probably September, but it was cold, dreary, I remember. And we walked by an apartment complex, and there they had a swimming pool. Well, I was surprised that they didn't drain the pool by this time of the year. But, you know, down in Texas, it's pretty warm for the latter part of November. And so there was a swimming pool open, and we were just both standing on the ledge, just kind of looking in, and I had a little thought cross my mind. How many of you know what that thought was? What's that thought? No, push him in. Push him in, right? And so here I was. I was very impulsive growing up, and so that thought ran across my mind. And so he's looking down. I notice him, and I just go, and he comes up, coughing water. It's cold in there. He's shivering. You know, he's like, are you crazy? And, you know, we just kind of, we didn't think it was a big deal. He went home after that. I went home, and I'm just watching television in the living room. And then the next thing I know is, ding dong. Yeah, the day of reckoning is here. So I opened the door, and there, to my amazement, is Joe Marshall's entire family. Oh, no. all of his family, not just him and his mom. It was, he was there with a towel shivering. I thought, oh, this does not look good. And then it was his younger brother, his younger sister, his mom, which didn't look none too happy. And then the grandmother was there. I thought, where is Rambo? Where is the Texas Bureau of Investigation? Where is the El Paso Police Department? I mean, it's just, they pulled out all the stops. And I opened the door and I said, yes. And the mom said, can I speak to your dad? I thought, oh, no. So my dad was in his bedroom just kind of reading a newspaper. And I said, Dad, Joe Marshall's mom wants to talk to you. He's like, you know, Joe Marshall's mom never talked to my parents. My mom was working at that time. So Dad said, what does she want? I don't know. So I run back to my bedroom, and I'm overhearing this conversation about your son pushed my son into the swimming pool in this cold, and she was madder than a hornet. And so I'm in my bedroom, and you know, we were superstitious growing up. I don't recommend this; it's silliness. But there was a little statue of a Buddha that said, "Rub my belly for good luck." True story. So I'm rubbing. I mean, I polished this little belly pretty good. I was rubbing because I knew that it did not sound good. You know, it did not sound good. And I'm telling you, Buddha's not God because he left me high and dry. But around, you know, I overhear my dad, well, thank you for coming by. Closes the door. Comes, I hear his footsteps coming around the corner. He said, Joe, come here. And I look at him and he's whipping out the belt. How many of you got the belt growing up? Right? Right? You know, I kind of feel sorry for some of our younger people because you have not lived unless you've been paddled or gotten a switch or gotten a belt. Can I get a witness, please? How many of you know that that is a very sure cure to bad behavior? You know, some of you are used to timeout. For some of us, it was lights out. Can I get a witness in the house? Who would say, yes, brother, preach it. It was lights out in my house. It was no timeout. So I got the belt real good. So, wow. Now, this morning, I want to entitle the message, Spiritual Spankings, because I want you to know where I'm going with this. Spiritual Spankings. How many of you know that our Heavenly Father loves us so much that He will spank us spiritually? Okay? So this morning I want to talk about that and I want to break it down for you. But it is important for me at the onset of this message that I make a distinction between God punishing sin and God disciplining His children. Let's be clear about this, church family. Once you become a believer, you are exempt from God's wrath. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, Jesus said, if those who believe in me will have eternal life, and the wrath of God no longer remains on them. But then he goes on to say in that same verse, those who do not believe in the Son of God, the wrath of God remains over their lives. You know, we talk about Jesus bearing our sins. How many of you believe that Jesus bore all your sins? Every last single one of them on the cross. And how many of you know that God the Father punished His own Son on our behalf so that we wouldn't have to bear the wrath of God? How many of you believe, raise of hand, by a show of hands, that Jesus absorbed all the wrath of God? I mean, think about that. Not only for your sins, not only for my sins, but for all the sins of all humanity. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says that how much more being justified by His blood are we saved from God's wrath. If there's a scripture that you need to memorize, memorize that scripture. We are saved from God's wrath. Amen? So can we agree this morning that based off of the scriptures that I shared with you, and there are many, many more, You know, he took our punishment for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Thank you. So now we are at peace with God because Jesus bore the full brunt of God's wrath. Now, let me make this distinction. God does not punish his children. God disciplines his children. What's the difference? Punishment is punishing bad behavior. Discipline is training good behavior. See that distinction? I no longer am under the threat of punishment. I know some of your translations include the word punishment. I'll deal with that here shortly. Okay? How many of you know that if you're a believer, you're exempt from God's wrath? All your sins have been punished. What were some of the last three words that Jesus said on the cross? He said, "It is finished." You know, that was a marketplace phrase. It was like a participle that said something like this. If you interpret it correctly, when in the marketplace, when you went to go buy fruit, you would exchange your money for that fruit or the goods. You would exchange your money, the coins, for that the goods you were buying. The person selling the stuff would say, tetalestai, that's in the Greek. It is paid in full. Right? So our sins are, let's all say it, our sins are paid in full. Our sins are paid in full. So does God need to punish me any further for my sins? Not if I'm a believer, right? There's a huge umbrella that exempts me from God's wrath. But we are all still under the hand of God to train 10 of Hebrews 12. Holiness. So what is right behavior in the eyes of God? That one word, holiness. What kind of end result, what's the end game in the discipline of the Lord for our lives? Holiness. So God is training holiness in us. He's not punishing bad behavior. He's training what kind of behavior? Good behavior, right behavior. Or in one word, it is what? Holiness. Very good. You're listening. All right. Now, so the verse we read here, notice what it says. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortations which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." So that's the subject in verse 5. That's the subject. And now after that line, he's going to give us different degrees of discipline. Because if you read this verse normally at face value, you think that the author is just restating himself. Let me illustrate. "Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked." Everybody say rebuked. "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." Everybody say chastens. "And scourges every son whom he receives." Let's all say scourges. Okay, so it's rebukes, chastens, and scourges, right? When we read that initially, we think that the author is restating himself, but he's not. Because in the Greek language, the original language, and I took three semesters of biblical Greek in seminary. Those were the toughest courses I've ever taken. Learning, you know, here's a very, very cool tidbit of information. Why people say, would God choose the original Greek, Koine Greek, common, every man, every woman, every child's common language, Greek, at that time in that culture? Because the Greek language is the most exact language in the world. How many words for love do we have in our English language? The Greeks had 4. We only have one word for life. The Greeks had 4. Most exact. So God chose to use the Greek language, the most exact language, to communicate his gospel through. Isn't that intense? Isn't that cool? So these words are different. The word rebuke is different than the word chastens, and the word chastens is different from the word scourges. And the word scourges is different from the word rebuke. They are three separate different words in the original language. So the author is not restating himself. Listen carefully. The author is giving us a kind of a pattern of different degrees of discipline. What's the first form of discipline that God gives us? Rebuke. What is a rebuke? It's a verbal warning. Right? How many of you ever verbally warned your kids? Right? Don't do that. You can't write on the walls with crayons. And then they pick up the crayon while you're telling them and they're about to write again. You can't do that. No, you can't do that. Right? When you tell a kid no, it's like waving a red flag at a bull. Like you're just egging them on. Yeah, I'm gonna chase that cape. I'm gonna chase that. So listen, my family. What is God's verbal warning to us? Right? Are these not words? Are there not admonitions? You know, another word for admonition in the Bible is warning. Are there not warnings in the Bible for us? Right? So God lovingly, verbally warns us through His Word. Let's all say His Word. Are you following with me? Is this simple to follow? Okay? And let me be clear about one thing. I use the word lovingly. What's the motivation behind God's discipline in our lives? What's the motivation? Whom He loves, He chastens or disciplines, right? So what's the motivation behind our discipline? God's love. It is not God's disappointment in you. It is not God's anger toward you. It is not God's frustration toward you. You know, the author of Hebrews makes clear there that our earthly parents, our earthly fathers disciplined us a certain way, but the Heavenly Father disciplines us in a completely objective way, not subjective way. He doesn't have these fickle emotions that subject His discipline, that kind of taint His discipline. No, what is God's motivation for disciplining us? Love, right? Okay, what's the second degree of severity of discipline? If we do not heed the rebuke, what does God resort to? He chastens us. Okay? What does chastening look like? Okay? God will allow the wrong behavior in our lives to have its next logical consequence. Did you hear that? That's pretty profound. If we do not heed a verbal warning, God will allow the next logical consequence of our wrong behavior to take its course. Often manifested, if you're taking notes, this is the how we know we are in the second degree of severity of discipline. The first one is what? Rebuking, right? Verbal warning. And then if we don't heed his verbal warning, we are subjected to emotional anguish as a consequence of our wrongdoing. Okay, how does that manifest itself? In a myriad of ways, different ways. How many of you have ever done something wrong repeatedly and felt awful for it? How many of you felt like you were kind of struggling? Can I break it down and just be real? Like you had like a double life, your public life. Oh, I'm Joe B. Good and do good. But in my inner world, I'm like, Joe, you are bad. Right? And you felt that guilt. Now, David said in the book of Psalms, he said, the hand of the Lord was heavy upon me. What does that mean? He was under intense emotional anguish because of his disobedience and his consequences. So what does chastening look like? The first word is what? Rebuke. What is a rebuke? We're just verbal warning. And the next severity of discipline is what? Chastening. And what does chastening look like in our lives? Emotional anguish, right? Sometimes fear, sometimes confusion. We lose sleep. We are stressed out. Because everything in us is telling us, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong. This is not right. Anybody ever been there, please? Raise your hand. Look at your neighbor and say, this is not bad teaching. I didn't say good, it's just not bad teaching. Right? Now, the Lord allows emotional language. What's the third degree of discipline? Scourges. Notice that word scourges. Doesn't that sound severe? Let me be clear about that, church family. Does the NIV use the word punishes? That word and the word scourges are used to describe a severity, not to describe punishment for sin. Let's be clear about that. We can resist emotional anguish, and the Lord will allow the consequences, the next logical steps of our consequences to take their course, and that is physical pain. I'll illustrate this, okay? I'll make it simple. I'll illustrate this. Let me be clear. A big disclaimer here. Everybody, please listen to me. If you don't get anything else out of what I'm telling you or teaching you this morning, just because you have pain in your body does not mean you're under the discipline of the Lord necessarily. Because, listen, if you're in physical pain, that does not mean you're under the discipline of the Lord necessarily. I want to be clear about that. But sometimes the physical pain is correlated to discipline. You know, in my early 20s, I had this panic disorder. Well, you know, long story short, the Lord healed me of that panic disorder. The Lord healed me of it. And for years, I was just thankful, because if you've had a panic attack, how many of you know panic attacks are no joke? They are real. And so I had this panic disorder, and the Lord healed me of it. It was not instantaneous. It was gradual. But thank God he healed me of it. And it's funny, you know, let me illustrate this. So it was funny because in my life, I had a tendency back then to be to get angry kind of soon at things I should not gotten angry about. Does that make sense? I mean, they were just menial things. I should have overlooked them. I should have prayed about them. Trust me, nowadays, I'm a praying person. Not to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying, I lift things up before the Lord because I know I cannot handle them. And if I try to handle them, then I start manifesting some of the consequences of mental anguish or physical pain. And so, you know, I was healed of it, but then I would give in to anger. And it's funny, the still small voice in me, I could hear God, not audibly, but in my spirit, I could hear God saying, you shouldn't be getting angry. You shouldn't be getting angry. Who's ever heard that voice in you? It's real, isn't it? You just get a nudge or an impression like, oh, Joe, you shouldn't be getting. And I would ignore that voice. What is that little still small voice? What's step one? Verbal warning, right? That was God saying, look, Joe, don't. Now, had I heeded that, that would have prevented step two and step three. So I started getting, because I ignored it, I started getting emotionally in anguish. I lost my peace. I had no peace of mind. The anger would just cause all kinds of emotional confusion in me. What's that called? Emotional anguish. And then I kept doing it, listen carefully, until the Lord allowed the consequences of that, and it gave way to the panic disorder coming back on me. Interesting, isn't it? So what's that panic disorder? Physical pain. I mean, when your heart beats so fast, like it's going to go out of your chest, and you can't breathe, and you think you're dying on the spot. Isn't that what a panic attack is? I mean, that's no joke. Could I have prevented that? Somebody answer that question for me. And why was God allowing the consequences? Because he was mad at me? No, because he was frustrated with me? Why? Because he loved me. Thanks, Mary Jo. I came to find out that anger eats away at your serotonin in your brain, and it's a serotonin in your brain that keeps you calm. When you lose serotonin because anger just chops it up, you are more prone to go into a panic attack. Now let's look at verse 11 in closing. Is that okay? Those who have been trained by it. Remember, discipline is for training what kind of behavior? Right behavior. Right, Lyle? And so now notice, no discipline is pleasant at the moment, but what? What is it? Thank you. It is painful. I'm going to finish with another childhood story. Is that okay? I was in fifth grade with one of my no-good-for-nothing buddies, and the only reason I say that is because we were always got ourselves in trouble. And there was this maintenance man fixing a window, and because the window was jarred, it couldn't close, and it was a little cool outside. And so he was there. He's a big gentleman, and his pants were sagging. His shirt, his white T-shirt was up here, so you can... He had a lot of space that showed flesh. Is that appropriate to say? We'll just leave it at that. I won't say crack kills, but no, sorry. Sorry. And I was terrible with spin watts. I know you like this, Zach, don't you, buddy? He's laughing away there. He's like, I was terrible with spin watts because I was good. I had great aim. I had great aim, but I just had a habit of just shooting them all the time during class. And so I would get a little piece of paper, I would wet it and fold it real tight, put it on the rubber band and here, and I'm aiming at the lower back of this poor guy. He's unsuspecting. The teacher is giving the lesson. I know. Don't look at me. Don't look at me like you're ready to stone me, please. Sorry, Mary Jo. I do not recommend this at home or in the classroom. Okay? And so I go like this, my friend's like, shoot it, shoot it. And I'm going, and that guy, it hit him, and he jumps up, begins to look, and we're just like trying to hold back the laughing. And then I look up, and he's like, he's motioning at me like, I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to tell on you. So the next hour was recess, and we got back from recess back into the class, and sure enough, the teacher had a pink slip for me to go to the office. She didn't say much. She said, you need to go to the office to see the assistant principal. The assistant principal was notorious for the paddle. Who all got the paddle at school? Thank you for your honesty. If my dad heard that I got the paddle at school, I got it worse at home. Am I preaching, brother? Am I preaching good? Am I right? You got it worse at home. So I went to the office, and he just said, okay, I hear you did this. Put your hands on the desk. And then he went back and whop, boom. And I'm like, then I was the one jumping up from the floor. And it burned like the dickens. That was not where it stopped. He reared back again, and he painted my back porch red again. And I'm like, oh my God. He says, go back to your classroom. I didn't walk. I was waddling. And then when I got back to my chair, my desk, I could hardly sit down. Oh, because I was in a lot of pain. And some of the kids were laughing because they knew why I was where I had been and why I was having a hard time sitting still. Because discipline is what? Painful. You know what I found, church family? That there is a more direct, this is profound wisdom from God right here. There's a more direct connection between this and this than this and this. We believe that your sovereignty over our lives has the ultimate say, and we humble ourselves before that sovereignty. Holy Spirit, have your way within our soul. Move within our soul. Correct us, teach us, train us in holiness that we might walk in greater levels of it. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I love you guys. You are dismissed.